Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Day, but not any Friday. It feels like the day after the grand final. It is the day after trade period. How did your club fare? We're going to hear from a lot of people inside clubs, some new clubs, some old clubs. But Matty Granlund, as I welcome you, the last time we were on air together as we went up towards 7 o'clock, Jeremy Cameron, Adam Treloar, Jai Caldwell, Orazio Fantasia were all yet to find new homes. Now, they all did. Josh Dunkley didn't.
He didn't get a dance partner, Josh Dunkley.
Well, he's going to have a few different partners at least at the same place. But it was unfathomable to think that we got to the last half an hour with so many crucial deals done. And I feel like, Matty, we're only now, 24 hours later, all coming up for air because we've had Jaden Stevenson come out and tell his side of the story. And then we've had the defence from the Collingwood Football Club, Ned Guy on Fox Footy last night, and then Jeff Walsh on Triple M this morning. Then we've had the press conference from Adam Treloar. Then he subsequently did a couple of interviews. Fair to say that the Collingwood Football Club and the reaction has dominated the last 24 hours since the deadline expired.
I think the word communication is the one word that sticks out to me. Communication from club to player and from club to supporter. I mean, to hear Jaden Stevenson yesterday say that he had to pick the phone up and talk to Nathan Buckley, ring him to find out what was going on. I could not believe that.
But Jeff Walsh then denied that this morning and said that there was more communication than that.
And we're going to talk to the Magpies.
We have to take that at face value.
A bit later on. And then to hear Adam Treloar say today that, yes, Nathan Buckley did say to him that there were certain senior players at the club that didn't want him there. So that was interesting as well. So, yeah, I think the communication all around, and also the Ned Guy interview on Fox Footy was hard watching, to be honest. And one thing I do think, Sam, is I think Nathan Buckley should have been the one to talk on behalf of the club. He is the club's best communicator by far. He's great in the media. And
But even though it's not really his space,
it's not.
I mean, like, I know what you're saying, but ultimately the list manager is responsible for what happens during the trade period.
But it was such,
and the head of footy looks over him. So
it was
you can
such
understand.
Big upheaval, though, that I think you put the coach up. And, you know, the coach, because he's so good, at explaining things, he's so articulate. I think he put a tweet out, but I really think Nathan Buckley probably should have spoken either last night or today. But he didn't. But the whole thing, it's been a pretty bad 24 hours for the Collingwood Footy Club.
Well, they've been generous enough in giving us their boss, their CEO, Mark Anderson, who joins us live on Sports Day. Mark, welcome to the program. I really appreciate your time, and I'm sure your members listening do as well. How do you reflect on the trade period as CEO?
Yeah, look, I think certainly trade periods in any year are really difficult for the reasons that you guys were just talking about then, that you need to make some tough decisions often, and that's really difficult. So this year was no different to that, and certainly was a tough week for everybody, no doubt.
So, Mark, I know you're CEO, so in many ways you're separated from what happens during the trade period. But given the moves, and I think Ned Guy and Jeff Walsh in the last 24 hours have kind of admitted that they are, you know, significant moves. It's been a significant period for your club. Were you at all consulted, or if not consulted, you know, amongst the decision makers and the knowledge of what was happening? And can you explain to the members listening what the thinking behind it is, if you were?
Yeah, I can, Sam. And look, the approach which both Ned and Jeff have spoken about, which is very true, is we finished sixth this year, and we understand, and we live in a high performance environment where you've got to get better, you want to get better, and sometimes that involves making really tough decisions. So that's the reality. We didn't finish the year like we wanted to, and we're not in the position that we want to. And so that does involve, you know, us looking really hard at ourselves and making some tough decisions. And so that's kind of importantly the starting point around, you know, are we where we're at? No, where we want to be at, sorry. No, we're not. What do we need to do to get better? That's the part of the strategy. And then flowing from that is some of those hard decisions that you were just talking about.
Mark, I heard Ned last night say that it was all about rejuvenating your list, but from the outside looking in, it looks like it's got something to do with salary cap as well. Did it have anything at all to do with your bulging salary cap and needing to relieve some of that money?
A combination, Matt. And so clearly salary cap is an issue for all clubs, particularly those at the top of, that have been around finals for the last few years. And certainly that's us for the last three. So your salary cap is always a challenge, and for all clubs, particularly those are at the pointy end. And so for us, absolutely, it's been a factor. It's one of the factors. It's not the factor, but it's something clearly you need to constantly manage. And it's always a factor and was a factor in these decisions as well, but not the only factor. It was really around, you know, we're in this position now as a team. How do we get better? What are the decisions we need to make to get better? And that was the underpinning reason for decisions. But absolutely, salary cap is an issue for us that we need to constantly manage, and we needed to manage this year, yes.
Mark, have you felt the response from Magpie fans? I mean, we in the media, we sort of, even though we don't like to admit it, we live in a bit of a bubble sometimes, and we listen to talk back and we read newspaper comments, and we think we have a good feel of how fans have reacted to a situation. It sounds like to us that, you know, there's a level of frustration and perhaps even with some of them, anger. Have you felt that?
Look, there's certainly frustration out there, and also I think our members rightfully, and those members that are listening, will be listening, trying to understand as well, which is very fair. And I think one of the things that we did over the trade period, rightly or wrongly, was to not comment as the process unfolded, and that was with respect to people involved. And so whether that was the right thing or the wrong thing, I think, history will be the judge on that. But I think our members also, have therefore not had that communication as the trade period's unfolded. And I think very understandably, you get to the last day and then these decisions come and you're wanting to understand. And our members are appropriately in that spot, and it's very appropriate that we give them answers, and they'll have their views and justifiably will have their own views, but it's certainly our responsibility and we need to explain those decisions.
They were big decisions that you did make, and very popular players with the fans and no doubt the teammates of the players that have left. Would you do anything differently if you had the trade period over again?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. And before sort of answering that, I'll say that it's really difficult for everyone and the players particularly, but everyone that works with them. I think what's been lost in this is we really rate them and as people, and we've loved having them around the club. And so for it makes the decisions even harder because our fans are passionate about the players involved, and we've liked them and loved them, and we'll continue to love them as well. So it makes for, it really just reinforces how tough the decisions are. So, look, I think they're emotional decisions as well. They're hard decisions. And I think one of the positives in this position that we're in is all of our players wanted to stay. And I think for our members that are listening, that is a positive. We've got a culture that our players want to be part of, enjoy being part of, and actually don't want to go. And I think, part of that conversation in answer to your question, could you do things differently? It is a fair question, but when players are wanting to stay and the club's needing to make the hard decisions, which people will disagree or agree with, it does create that dilemma of having to force an outcome, even if players aren't wanting to go. And so that's always going to be difficult.
Jaden Stevenson and his revelation that he had to call Nathan Buckley to find out what was happening. He said that there'd been some murmuring. His manager had a chat to him, but he didn't hear from the club, and he picked the phone up and talked to Nathan Buckley. Have you been able to get to the bottom of whether or not, and I think Jeff Walsh may have said that maybe there was a different version of events there between the two. Have you been able to get to the bottom of what happened there, Mark?
Look, not specifically, because I'm not involved at that level of each conversation that occurs, but what I do know is that certainly Jayden was given feedback across the season. And so this didn't come out of the blue in a trade week. There was feedback throughout the season, and his coaches and other people had spoken to him about that. And a good level of communication into his agent. Did Jayden pick up the phone and talk to Nathan? Yes, he did. Was that the only form of communication that occurred to him? No, it wasn't. So I think, you know, it's, again, the difficulty of this sort of trade period where it's in a condensed period, you know, it's difficult in terms of the communication channels, but Jeff's absolutely right. Those discussions have been had throughout the season and occurred at an exit interview as well.
Mark, you've been a successful businessman now outside of football for a long time. To put this into business parlance, if you went through a change in your business and a restructure, and you know, much loved people who had contracted on big deals left, I assume that you know you would believe that that may create a little bit of anxiety and unrest with the rest of the staff. Do you think there's a possibility what's happened in the last few days could do the same with the playing group? You know, do you think that the playing group needs to be spoken to and had it reconfirmed to them that the same won't happen to them in the future?
That's also a fair question, Sam. What I'm really confident of is actually the playing group are in a really good space, and they won't be spooked by this. Clearly, they'll be listening to the commentary and have views, but our playing group is in a great space together, and they're aligned and united, and they've got great connections. So, and they understand what the footy club's about, and it kind of reinforces my previous point around our players want to be part of the club and part of the team, and it's a really good environment, and it's an environment that they enjoy as well. So I'm confident that's not an issue for us, Sam, because our players actually want to be part of it, and they appreciate what's provided across the group and with the group, and they're in good shape. I'm very confident of that.
Mark, as we let you go, what's your final message to members listening tonight?
Look, it is the understand the questions and wanting to understand. The key is that this is part of a strategy. This is not something that just emerged in the last couple of days of a trade week. That we do understand that we need to get better, that we're striving for that continuous improvement, and that is that we need to make the hard decisions to make that next step, and that is about getting to the pointy end of a draft, both for this year and moving forward, and putting us in a position as well that we can compete around quality talent that comes out of contract that we might be able to access down the track to make us better. And so this is all about making us better. What we absolutely understand, and we actually all feel as people ourselves, is really tough around saying goodbye to people that we really like and rate. So the key message is we haven't done that lightly. We rate each of the guys that are leaving, and it makes it tougher in a way, but it hasn't been done lightly, and this is all about how do we get better as a team and a club.
Mark Anderson there, the Collingwood CEO. Appreciate your time, Mark. Enjoy the weekend. I think the members will be glad to hear from you. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's 24 minutes past 6 on this Friday evening. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you. We're here for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy. And for Kia, the all-new Kia Sorento has landed. I know a lot of people want to have their say, but we need to get to the people who were movers and shakers in the trade period. Now, one of the shakers was Mark Anderson at the Collingwood Footy Club.
I just want to say, too, very impressive.
He's highly impressive.
Yep. And I think that's
very good representative of his club.
The best messaging we've heard out of Collingwood in the last 24 hours was their CEO.
Yep. And one of the movers was now a former Magpie and a new Hawk, Tom Phillips, who I don't know if you saw him on the Oval Office a year ago. Very, very impressive media talent as well. He's only 24, 89 games with Collingwood. This man, Matty, averaged 26 disposals from his 49 games in 2018 and 2019. He was in all-Australian top form in 2018. He's now moved for pick 65. The Hawks have done it again. They are the masters when it comes to the trade period. And the man himself joins us. Tommy, welcome to Sports Day. Congratulations on the move.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
When did this all come about, Tom? When did you first think that you might not be a Collingwood player in 2021?
I don't know. I think it's probably towards the end of the season. I think after sort of the final sort of stuff and then wrapping it up with the exit interview and sort of, you know, the next few weeks after that and some, honest conversations that were had and, just getting all different perspectives and having a look at the opportunity going further. That's sort of when a few things started to move and to change. And, I think there are some signs, earlier than that and a few, differing circumstances and things that, were sort of playing out. So, I think I'm glad to be over at the Hawks now, but, as I said previously, it's been a great ride in the last 5 years as well at the Pies.
Hey, Tom, when you have those quote-unquote honest conversations in exit meetings, how does it make you feel? Do you get your back up a bit and do you get upset or do you get your mindset go straight to, time for a new opportunity and a fresh start?
I think there's a healthy amount of emotion and conversation that goes on within that, on both sides of the coin. And, it's all about, luckily I've had a really good relationship with, Bucks and a lot of the coaching staff. And, I've had some really good clarity on, what it's looked like up until this point and what it looks like going towards the future. I think, naturally being there for 5 years, there's attachment and emotion that goes with a lot of decisions and the way that I go about it. I'm passionate and love playing footy and adored my time and was grateful for my opportunity at Collingwood. So I'm always going to be emotional. It's always going to be bittersweet in a way moving to a club that's a really good fit for me as well. So there's two sides of the coin that you can look at, every situation. Everyone's got a different perspective and opinion on it. In my circumstance, I think there was some really good clarity from early on. And as you said, it does sometimes you feel like you want to get probably a bit more emotional than what you should. And, that's okay. Like, that's natural. We're all, sometimes you feel like that and, I certainly did, but at the same time, on reflection, I think getting really good clarity from a number of people, helped formulate a really good decision.
Tom, when Collingwood spoke to you, was the idea of finding you another club related to the fact that you might not get a game on the wing next year, or was it salary cap related, or both?
Probably a little bit of a mix of both. Mainly probably the role stuff and opportunity on field, especially in those positions of strength for me, naturally. I think the salary cap stuff is not what I deal with. I focus on trying to play good footy and, that's challenging enough. And, as players, that's all we should really be focusing in on and not trying to get our noses into, too much of the other stuff. There's other people in those roles and they deal with that stuff accordingly. So, for me, I think mainly I just look at the role stuff and what I can do on field and if that's been part of the reason, then that's how I see it. Obviously there's other things with the finances and all that and the salary stuff and there's a lot of commentary on that and that can be spun and looked at in a number of different ways. But, I think I just try and focus on what I can focus on. And that's always sort of what I've tried to do and trust the process and that you know, the people in those roles are doing the best they can for the greater good of the club, and that's sort of what I was told, and you know, I trust that.
Tom, when did you speak to Clarko, and what was that like, speaking to the, you know, the legendary premiership, full-time premiership coach, and what was the sell from Alistair Clarkson?
Yeah, Clarko, I chatted to him probably about half an hour before the deal was done. So it was
really?
Pretty, pretty late. Yeah, it was pretty late. There's a few things that were getting that were going back and forth in the background. So, yeah, it was probably on about 30-odd phone calls yesterday. So it was all sort of all happening with all different things. But, yeah, Clarko, chatted to him. He was really positive and upbeat and, yeah, chatting obviously about the wing stuff and, you know, opportunity throughout the midfield going forward, and but mainly just with, you know, Isaac Smith and Henderson, especially those two guys, you know, not in the mix next year at the Hawks, you know, potentially it's a perfect fit for, you know, myself and, you know, propelling my career forward again. So it's, you know, I'm really stoked with that and, you know, the opportunity for development and, you know, growing my game from a wing and then into areas if it suits, different areas when that suits is, you know, something that, you know, I'm definitely open to, and I think Clarko is as well, chatting to him. So it's sounds like a really good fit, and, you know, I think the culture and all that sort of stuff as well, alike Collingwood, is very strong and really positive. So it's, you know, if I wasn't going to be there, I don't think it would have been a bad option either, staying at Collingwood for another year. You know, a place that I've really enjoyed and I've had really good, fond memories. And, you know, with my, you know, I like to back myself in and stay strong and, you know, I think no matter what environment I would have been in, you know, you get back to work, you get back to pre-season, and it's, you know, it's all equal, it's all the same, and, you know, just things might change here and there, but this year's been crazy, guys, and, you know, I think we all can admit that, you know, there's been a lot of change, there's been a lot of things that have gone on this year, but, you know, wherever I was going to be, I would have been pretty open to it. I kept an open mind all the way, and that's how I wanted to be. Maintain relationships and keep all that sort of stuff really strong.
Tommy, Hawthorn fans are excited to hear from you. I'm sure they're excited to see you play your first game next year and hopefully what's a much more normal 2021. Enjoy the time off, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Cheers again.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Phillips there, the new Hawk. This is Sports Day for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you and Fitness Australia. Gyms are safe. They're essential. Open Vic Gyms now, like the rest of Australia.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. What is the fire danger rating in your district? You can check daily. Go to emergency.vic.gov.au. Sam McClure and Matt Granlin with you, joined by the head of football at the Sydney Swans in Charlie Gardner the day after trade period. Charlie, you were pretty busy last year trying to chase Joe Danaher. Not as busy this year, but still some good business from your footy club.
Yeah, hi Sam. Hi Matt. Thanks for having me. Yeah, look, we weren't as active or involved in the final day of trade period like we were last week, but we were really happy with what we were able to achieve, bringing Tom into the club and improving our sort of overall position in terms of draft points and picks this year, and preserving our position for next year. So yeah, we had a good week from our perspective.
Charlie, can I just ask you about how you see the exit of Alir Alir? Obviously, a guy that you've put a lot of time into developing. He's a good age and a really good size. He goes to Port Adelaide probably as a starting 18 player. How disappointed are you that he left? And what were Port Adelaide offering that you couldn't, do you think?
Oh, look, yeah, we're disappointed to lose a player like Alir. He's played some great football for our club and had developed into a really good defender. he came to us with a request to get to Port Adelaide. I'm not privy to sort of the detailed motivations for that, but when he came to us, we were bound to consider it, like we would any request. And if it works for the club, then and you can find a way where you think it takes you forward, then you consider that. And we looked at it from a few different angles, and decided that on balance, there was something to be gained out of facilitating the trade, and we did that, and unlocked the trade we were able to do with West Coast to bring in Tom and also strengthen our draft hand.
Ali was versatile, but he played as a key defensive post for a lot of the time. Do you think you've got that area covered?
Yeah, we think we've got a bit of depth in that area. We've sent Tom McCartan back in the second half of the season and thought he was really impressive and could turn into a very good key defender. We've also got Lewis Melican, who continues to develop, who we've just re-signed. Rampy's obviously still an elite defender, but the development of McCartan and Melican may even free him up to play a different role. So we think we do have a little bit of depth in that area. There's also some pretty decent talent in the key position stocks in the top end of the draft, and we hold pick three. So there's a whole lot of things that go into weighing up a decision like that, and they all go into it. So
you mentioned one McCartan there, Charlie. Is there a chance of another one joining?
Oh, look, we certainly spoken to Paddy. We know the family well. The difficulty has been until now is we've been uncertain about where list sizes were filing on land. We've got that information as of yesterday, and so we'll start planning now. The rest of our list management strategy, but whether it includes Paddy or not, at this stage I can't say. But we're considering it.
So medically, you think you've done all, crossed your T's, dotted your I's there, he's fine medically? It's just a matter of whether you can fit him onto your list and salary cap and those sort of things?
Yeah, look, we're considering a number of players, and he's just one of them. From a medical perspective, there is a history there that we're mindful of. We're certainly not in a position yet to make a call on it, but we're not ruling it out. He's got obvious talent, and we know the family well. So we'll just we'll spend a bit more time weighing that up, and we've got to weigh up all of our other list needs as well. So it's by no means a decision we'll make in the next few days. There's a fair bit of water to go under the bridge there.
Charlie, I know you won't want to be complaining, but how hard has this period been, given that you don't know list sizes and TPP?
It's been really difficult, Sam, it's really challenging because, I think the toughest part about it has been the players that have been left in limbo and clubs not being able to make confident decisions to move forward and inform players about their future. So, the players have done it really tough, being left to wait to hear of their fate, whether they'll be offered contracts and opportunities or not. So from that perspective, it's been tough. And from, the list manager's perspective, trying to keep flexibility and not close out options when you just don't know where things are finally going to land. It's not easy, but I do understand it's not an easy negotiation either that's going on with the review of the CBA. I can understand that it's an important decision to get right.
Should be done by now, though, Charlie. It should be done by now.
Yeah, I think all clubs would like it to have been done a lot sooner, but we're all in the same boat, I guess. So we're just doing the best we can with what we know.
And to that end, there was a little bit in the Age, might have come from Sam, some reporting that there's a whisper that there may be another mini-trade period before the season. Do you think, you talked about those players in limbo, do you think that would be a good idea, Charlie?
I think it adds a bit of flexibility, and if it gives
it gives more players opportunities and clubs to be a little bit more flexible, then it's a good thing. Look, if it's a vehicle open to us, we'll look at it. I guess anything that adds flexibility is a positive. I think the most important thing is just certainty. And once we know what the rules are and what we can and can't do and the options open to us, then you can properly plan. But when things are uncertain and you just don't know what you can and can't do, that's when decision-making becomes hard.
Charlie, where do you see this list build at? I think you've blooded some really talented youngsters, probably a few of them that we didn't know that you had there. And you've always remained such a consistent final side under John Longmire. Are you confident you're not far away from being back up there?
Yeah, we're still really confident in the young group we're assembling. We think even though we finished 16th, we took some real steps forward this year with our development. I think in the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, we pushed some of the better sides in the competition and played some really competitive footy. So we're getting to a stage where, you know, even though we are young, we're starting to get some games and senior experience into our young group. And I think we'll see the benefits of that over the next 12, 24 months when they really start putting some combined experience together and collective experience together and playing in big games and knowing how to handle situations. We saw late in the season, game against Carlton, where we played really well for 3 quarters and let the game go. You'd hope that our young group learn from that, and if we get in another position, we don't drop that game again. Similar to the game in round 18 against Geelong, you know, we played some great football. But
Charlie, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy a little bit of time off. Good luck next year.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Matt.
Charlie Gardner there, the Sydney Swans head of football. This is Sports Day. Remember, being prepared for a fire could save your life. Download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au. More Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day on this Friday edition. Plenty to wrap up in the trade front. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you. We're here for Maccas. Maccas 30 days, 30 deals is back. Better download the My Maccas app today. Huge day for the Western Bulldogs, Matty. Yesterday, I think most people or most articles that I've read of the bylines that I go to have said that the Western Bulldogs have come out the best of all 18 clubs. Pretty hard to argue with, given that they kept Josh Dunkley and got in Adam Treloar for a pretty cheap price. Amit Bains is their CEO, and he joins us. Amit, welcome to Sports Day. How do you reflect after sleeping on it, the day that was yesterday for your club?
Evening, Sam. Evening, Matt. Thanks for having me. Yeah, look, we're obviously pleased with the outcome. I think, you know, one of the key drivers for us was actually retaining a player in Josh Dunkley, not necessarily being active, you know, through the period. And it was great that when the dust settled that he remained a Bulldogs player. I know that a lot of his teammates and staff and everyone have been just as excited by that as anything else this period.
Amit, we'll ask you about all the deals and also, you know, how you've welcomed Adam Treloar into the Bulldogs family. But just on Josh, how do you handle that? I mean, I know, you know, everyone will say that, well, he just walks back in day one of preseason and it's business as usual, but it's not really because he's different to the other players. He actually actively tried to leave. Will the coach sit him down? Will you try to reaffirm to him what this football club is all about? Have you spoken to him already?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question, and it's not unique. Obviously, each year there are players that find themselves in these situations, and there are obviously a couple of examples last year with Joe Danaher himself at Essendon and Tom Papley, both of which went different ways 12 months later. But one of the things that we were always really confident with is Josh's character as a person and his reasons for wanting to go, and knowing that in expressing his preference to be traded to Essendon, there wasn't any significant issue with key people at the football club. You know, he's still very close mates with Marcus Bonapelli, who's also captain, obviously, with Hayden Crozier, with some of the other guys, has a terrific relationship with Bevo as well. So we knew that in that sense, it wasn't like he was walking back into any fractured relationships. It was more about where he felt he could progress his career better in terms of the Essendon opportunity. So you're right, there is some awkwardness that will need to be overcome, but we were never really concerned, and we're not concerned that that'll take too long to overcome.
Why did he want a new start, Amit?
Oh, Matt, look, I think it's been well documented, and you know, we have said different things, but you know, just using you know, Liam Pickering, his manager, as the voice from Josh's camp as what's on record, you know, the playing opportunity that Essendon presented and the career opportunity, I think, in terms of you know, contract and things like that, were really compelling and enticing for Josh. And you know, one of the things we like about Josh that came to the fore with him wanting to pursue that opportunity is he's a really competitive, driven and ambitious person, and you know, that offer to Essendon was obviously really enticing for him.
Without making light of a serious situation, he's going to find it a little bit harder getting midfield time with Adam Treloar in there.
Yeah, I mean, that comment has been raised, and clearly there's a juggle that needs to occur with that. But I think the other thing that we were at pains to say to Josh as well and his teammates were is that he had an exceptional 2019 where he really took the next step with his game, and that was evident with him coming runner-up in our best and fairest and also making the All-Australian squad of 40. And he started the year really well. I think that that's what gets lost in this, where he was still in that starting midfield lineup, and he suffered that nasty syndesmosis ankle injury in the last, literally the last play of the game against GWS in round three. So he then went and missed 8 weeks of footy, and in a season where training wasn't what it was normally like and you had condensed games, it was very hard for players who were injured to get back to their best. And we found that with, you know, Aaron Norton was another example, and other players who, you know, struggled to consistently pick up the tempo when they returned in the back half of the year. And that was the way with Josh, and obviously a couple of other players like Libber and Bailey Smith emerged in the gap. And what we're saying and have said to Josh is that, you know, you just need to back yourself into to really get back to that form in 2019. We know the professional player you are, the standards that you set and demand of yourself, and, you know, just have confidence that you can get back into that position.
Amit Baines has joined us from the Western Bulldogs. Amit, you get Adam Treloar, which is a big inclusion. Take us through that. When did that trade manifest itself? How late in the piece were you talking to Adam Treloar?
Yeah, look, Matty, that was literally only in the last 3 days of the period. Clearly, with Josh formalising his request and preference to move to Essendon, we started to canvass the possibility of doing the trade with Essendon, you know, reluctantly, but you know, knew it was an option. So from our point of view, we were keen to be really prudent in keeping all options open for ourselves if indeed we could do a deal with Essendon to satisfy us with Josh moving there. And as time progressed, one option that became evident to us is that we could potentially keep Josh and bring Adam in as well. And that really grew momentum in the last couple of days.
How much, obviously, football's all about winning premierships, although we try to avoid the conversation sometimes, mate. You guys obviously won one in 2016, your second as a footy club. Keeping Dunkley and getting Treloar, how much closer does that move you towards premiership contention in your eyes?
Oh, look, we know where we're at. We're, you know, a young list, and we've been really pleased to play finals the last two seasons, but are also abundantly clear that we weren't good enough to progress past that first round. Obviously, the result was a lot closer last year against the Saints, and we did have some opportunities to win that game, but ultimately we bowed out week one of the finals. So we know, and full credit to the coaching group and Sam Power and the list management team, you know, they went with a really distinct plan around improving our list through this trade period, and, you know, in particular, getting some backup ruck support, you know, experience support for Tim English and to a lesser extent Jordan Sweet was a key priority, and they were able to do that with Stephen Martin, and then similarly the need to put a bit more speed up forward with Mitch Hannon. So we know that bringing in more talent and experience is critical for us, and as much as we hadn't clearly planned to bring Adam in at the start of the period and even, you know, at the start of the week, you know, there was a real opportunity there for us at the end where, you know, Adam at his best is a tremendous player with a proven track record at AFL level, you know, where his record stacks up really well. So that really excited us. And as I said, when it became clear that we, you know, had to consider an option where we retain Josh but were able to bring in Adam as well, you know, the idea really grew on us. And ultimately the coaching group and the list management group, you know, had to decide whether that was something that was feasible and, as you say, would it make us better? And I think at the end of the day, there's no hesitation in moving that way.
And you talked about Stephen Martin. That's a big acquisition as well. And Tim English is going to develop into a great ruckman. Maybe even he could even become one of the competition's great ruckmen. So what's the plan for Tim? Is he still your number one ruckman and Stephen's purely there for support? Or how's that dynamic going to work?
Yeah, that the way you've framed it is what we're hoping and expecting. And I think what all Bulldogs fans will be really thrilled about is hearing Steph speak in the last few days as well. He's no doubt keen to play as much senior football as he can and will be given that opportunity. And we see the prospect of both Tim and Steph playing regularly is something that we're happy to pursue. But he's equally enthused about the prospect of really coaching and mentoring Tim and as I said, Jordan Sweet as well, and helping them become better ruckmen and players overall. As you say, Tim had a real breakout year this year, you know, at his best this year. The Essendon game comes to mind particularly. He was really dominant, but he did find it more difficult against some of the bigger, more seasoned ruckmen. So, you know, having Steph there to provide that support and experience will be, you know, massive for him, not only during the week, but certainly on game day as well.
Hamid, as we get closer to 7 o'clock on a Friday evening, go and enjoy a well-earned beer or wine or whatever takes your fancy. It's been a pretty significant period for your footy club. Let's hope that translates into success in 2021 and beyond. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, Sam and Matt. And before going, I'd just like to send out a particular thank you to Bulldogs fans and members. I know the trade period's always tense and there's always a lot of emotion, but the outpouring of support that we've received through emails and Twitter and all of our social platforms really in terms of backing in the club and what we're doing has been really gratefully received. So thank you to all of them as well.
Well said. I'm sure they'll be delighted to hear it. Amit Bains, the Bulldogs CEO. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great designs, so you love being home. Well, one of the potential steals of the trade period was the acquisition of Ben Brown at the Melbourne Football Club. Now, this is the man who kicked more goals than any other player between 2016 and 2019. Sammy, he joined us for a chat a couple of days ago, and he's a pretty happy man. Let's have a listen to Ben Brown. All thanks to Ozmade. Shop for authentic Aussie products. Choose Australian made. Let's have a listen to Ben Brown.
A man that didn't have to wait right up until 7:30. He did have to wait until the final day, though, is Ben Brown, one of the most prolific goal-kicking forwards of the last four or five seasons. In fact, we talked about Jeremy Cameron. In those 3 years of 17, 18 and 19, Ben Brown actually kicked more goals than Jeremy Cameron. He has proven to be an excellent player and very, very valuable. He moves from Arden Street, not far down the road, to the Melbourne Footy Club, where he'll be playing out of the goal square. And he joins us live on Sports Day. Ben, welcome. Congratulations. You must be excited.
Hello, guys. Yeah, very excited. And thank God it didn't go down this far to the wire, like you guys are saying.
I tell you what, Ben, and we'll get to how excited you are about playing for your new club. But we here, you know, we turn up to radio and we write stories and we think, how good is the trade period? You're on the other side of the fence thinking, can I please just get this deal done? Okay. I don't want to be sitting here at 7:28 wondering.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. No, I mean, we were pretty confident the whole way through that you know, we'd work it out, I suppose, between North Melbourne and Melbourne. So it was more just, you know, waiting to see when that time would be, and obviously waiting to the last day. You know, the stress levels go up a little bit, but no, I'm stoked with how it's worked out now and really excited to move on and get stuck into pre-season and start meeting some people.
Can you take us through the process, Ben, of when, obviously, you had the discussion with North Melbourne to say that, you know, you were open to leaving and they were open to trading you. When, you know, what did you do then? Did you talk to your manager? How many clubs did you talk to? Take us through that process.
Yeah, it was probably at the end of the year during my exit meeting, you know, sat down with Reece Shaw and Brady Rawlings, and they told me that, you know, they thought it would be best for me to look at my options elsewhere, and that they probably thought my time at North was over. And previous to that, we've been pretty committed to North Melbourne and trying to get something done there. But after that point, you know, that obviously made it pretty clear to me that I needed to start looking for other clubs. And from pretty much the first bell, I felt really confident about the way North present, the way Melbourne presented to me, and you know, it felt like it'd be a pretty exciting place to roll into. So I'm pretty happy with how it's all gone down, and really lucky that I was able to get to the home that I wanted to get to.
We'll talk about the future in a moment and the Demons, but just take us through this season, an odd year for everyone, for every club, for every player living in hubs. Take us through your experience, Ben, and it probably wasn't the best year for you, and why do you think that was?
Yeah, it was an odd season for everyone. I think that's a good way to sum it up. And, you know, it was a lot for a lot of different people, having to, you know, pick up and move and move into the hub. And, you know, if you'd asked me how I wanted this year to go, you know, from the club perspective and an individual perspective as well, I probably wouldn't have written it the way I've written it. But I suppose that's the way things have gone now. And I think even just for my, you know, for me, from a mental point of view, I think moving on from this year is the best thing to do. I know that I can play the game at a really high level. I think I've shown that over the past few years, and now I've just got to do some learning of my own and get to know a new game plan and a new way of doing things and get to know a few teammates. So that's probably where my mind's at the moment.
Hey, Ben, it's obviously a really significant move for you. I know it is any time that a player leaves, but you were a much-loved member of the North Melbourne Footy Club, not just for what you brought on the field, but for off it as well. You're a big part of their community program, which I know is a big thing at Arden Street. Whatever the circumstances were, and you can tell us in your own words, but it must have been difficult to know that, you know, you kicked a lot of goals for that club. You were part of what was a successful team, then a team that was rebuilding. Having to move workplaces is hard for anyone. Having to uproot your life and move footy clubs when you've been so invested there must be a difficult thing as well.
Yeah, it's been, to be honest, it's been unbelievably difficult and, you know, disappointing in a lot of ways to, you know, to be told that you're not required at a club anymore. I feel like I have poured a lot into, and my family's poured a lot into too, not only myself, but, you know, my wife's been part of the North Gender Equality Working Group for a number of years now. So, and I feel like we've both tried to get involved where we can in community programs and things like that. But the great thing is I'll look back on that time with so many awesome memories that I've been able to make, and some friends that I'm sure will be lifelong friends as well. You know, so that's the good side of it. Obviously, it's hard, but these things do happen. You know, I've learned a bit about the AFL industry in the last couple of months, and you have just got to roll with the punches a little bit, you know. And I think that's what I've got to do now. And I think I'm really excited to go to a club like Melbourne, which is also really prolific in the community space, has a really strong AFLW program, which is huge for me. I'm really excited to get into it.
And how hard been those last few months? You know, you're in a hub. You know, the club is losing most weeks, so you don't get that release because you're in the hub and you're seeing your teammates and your coaches every single day. You don't get to go home and, you know, get away from things. And then, you know, you're thinking about your own future. I mean, how do you sort of process all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a unique situation, and I think you had to be really flexible this year. You know, it wasn't only hard on me. I think it was hard on so many people in the AFL industry, and hard on particularly, you know, I was really lucky to be able to have my family there, but particularly some of the staff members who, you know, weren't given the opportunity to bring family up or had to wait a long time to be able to do that. You know, it was particularly difficult for them. So here's hoping that that's the last time we have to consider doing something like we did this year. But, you know, it was just one of those things, and it's thrown up challenges. COVID's thrown up challenges for everyone. We're very much, you know, conscious that we've been living in our own little bubble and that there have been so many people out there doing it tough. So, you know, we've really been extremely lucky to be able to go away into the hub and still be able to work and still be able to you know, provide some joy for people, hopefully, that were you know,
that were struggling at times this year, and I know a lot of people still are. So, just time to move on now, and for me personally, onto another footy club, which is a really exciting thing to do now.
It is, and you've got some exciting players that you'll be playing with. What are you most looking forward to about playing under Simon Goodwin? And I guess, do you think they play in a different way that North Melbourne did this year, Ben? Do you see yourself as a better chance of kicking more goals for them than the way that North played this year?
Oh, I've definitely still got a lot of learning to do about the way that they play. And that'll only come with experience too. I think it's as much about getting to know your teammates and the way that they play, as well as the game plan and trying to fit into that. So I'm under no illusions that I'm going to have to do some learning. I'll hopefully be able to do some teaching too. And I'm really excited to work with some pretty exciting young tall players that are sort of around in that forward line, like Sam Wiedemann and Luke Jackson, and also, to be working alongside some of the older stages too, like Max Gorn. And it's pretty exciting looking at the midfield that they've got put together as well. As a forward, you are to an extent relying on what happens upfield. And I think Melbourne's midfield and even their defence they've built in the last couple of years is really strong. So hopefully I'll be able to add in some way to that.
Ben, you've had an outstanding career thus far, 130 games, 287 goals. That's good going in anyone's book. Congratulations on what you've achieved so far. Good luck at Melbourne.
Thanks very much, guys.
Ben Brown there, new full forward of the Melbourne Football Club. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
There is Benny Brown on Sports Day, and he is off to the Demons in 2021, and he's in for a big season, all thanks to Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home designed to suit your individual lifestyle. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Jesse Hogan. He's now a GWS Giant on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day, all courtesy of Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Well, it's been a huge trade period. Earlier on this week, we caught up with this is a deal that went down fairly early on in the trade period. Wayward forward Jesse Hogan. He joined Fremantle, didn't go too well there after crossing from the Melbourne Football Club. Well, he lands at a third AFL club. He's off to the GWS Giants, and we spoke about the new journey ahead.
We mentioned Jesse Hogan before, Matty. The guy that usually sits in this chair, Jared Healy, once called him, and Jared doesn't hand out compliments daily, in fact, maybe not even monthly, that he was the most exciting underage footballer he'd ever seen. In fact, had discussions with the AFL of getting him on a list before he turned 18. Well, I think he was proven correct. Three of his first four seasons, he kicked more than 40 goals as a teenager and then a young man in his 20s. He obviously hampered by injury in that 2017 year where he kicked 20 goals, 47 in a year where the Melbourne Football Club made a preliminary final. We then know what happened this time 2 years ago. It was a big move to go home to Western Australia and then play for Fremantle. It hasn't transpired the way that everyone would have wanted, but he now gets a third opportunity at a side that many people still think is contending for a premiership, and that is GWS. He's a star when he's playing, and he joins us live on Sports Day. Jesse, welcome, and congratulations on the move. You must be wrapped.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Obviously, I think it's about a week or two now, but it's finally starting to sink in and putting the pieces together and hopefully head over there soon.
Hey, Jesse, can you just, in your own words, describe to us how it all transpired at Fremantle? It's never just one thing when it doesn't work out between a club and a player. It's usually the combination of many. How did you see it?
I think on reflection, I wish I just had a better run of it. Getting to the club and being in the rehab group and not being able to train until January and sitting on a lot of the pressure that the kind of Perth media base had kind of piped up and not been able to integrate, I probably didn't handle that as well as I should have. I kind of just isolated myself a little bit and kind of struggled with that a bit. So I think that was the initial thing that not getting a really good run out, and only making 10, 12 games each year was disappointing. So the fact I finished this year with a good body and mentally and physically I'm in a good position, it would have been nice to essentially give it a full year and work alongside Tabs and Lobby, but it hasn't transpired, and I think this is the best move for all parties.
So you talked about Jesse getting to Fremantle, and you had, I think, a navicular injury, and you were in the rehab group. So that was that. Did that make it hard to sort of fit into the group, because you're in the rehab group, you're not training with the boys, you're not playing games. Did that sort of get you off on the wrong foot, so to speak?
Yeah, I think initially when any player gets to a new club, I think the first thing they want to do is work hard and earn the trust of the players. And when you're in the rehab group and you're not really training or anything, you kind of feel a bit isolated. So, that was probably the hardest thing, was not being able to join in and integrate with the group and kind of just be isolated by myself. So, that's a part of the game. Injuries are part of the game. Everyone gets them. But it would have been nice just to be able to join in and, earn the trust and build that over the pre-season rather than come in January. And, and then obviously re-injuring it again wasn't ideal. So, that's kind of one thing I reflect on that, was a big bit of pill to swallow, but yeah.
Jesse, you gave a fascinating insight before about, the media in Perth, and people talk about it like it is in Adelaide, a two-team town. Everyone's concentrating on really two groups of players. You were also under the microscope here in Melbourne because, you were a star in the making and kicking goals and then getting injured. And you're only 25 years of age. Do we in the media and as supporters forget about the world that you as footballers are living in the modern age of Instagram and Twitter and social media feedback and media pressure? It's not just as simple as going out and playing footy.
A little bit, I guess. It comes with the game, though. It kind of comes with it. The contracts that you get, all the rest of it, it comes with that. It's the natural pressures of it. I think any sport you play, whether it's, NBA, obviously that's on a global scale, but there's a pressure to perform and a pressure to deliver a bare minimum standard. And when you're not doing it, it's basically the media's job to point it out. So, you can't really, point fingers at the media. I think that's just their job. I think as players, we can do better to not avoid it, but just deal with it better. A lot of players in the NFL do struggle with this side of it, and it is a hard one because, I necessarily don't read it, but just my family and my brother and my family and my friends, and they're telling me, and that's just kind of like what gets to me. I've kind of learned not to really read it and stuff, but it's kind of just, in Perth especially, it's pretty loud and it's pretty hard to kind of get away from, but it is what it is. Like I said, it comes with being a professional athlete.
Are you looking forward to being slightly more out of the limelight in Western Sydney?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And all the boys I've spoken to that are up at GWS have said they barely get recognised. No one really seems to care too much about footy, which doesn't mean you go over there and think you can do whatever. But it would just be nice to just be able to go for a beer or just go to the beach and not be recognised and hustled to a degree. So that's definitely a plus side when it comes to moving to GWS.
And Jesse, when you talked about, you didn't handle it well, what do you think, in hindsight, what do you think you would do differently about handling that fishbowl aspect of Perth?
I think there's a lot of factors that went into me not playing my best footy. I've sat down and tried to debrief this for hours with certain people. I can't really go into it too much, to be honest, but I kind of just wasn't really ready for it and didn't really handle it extremely well. And, obviously went to a pretty bad place. I had to step away from the game for a while because I was kind of just ignoring it rather than actually dealing with it. So, I'm not going to go into too much depth about that. But, probably just, communicating and getting people I trust around me and getting a really good support group, because I probably struggled with that a bit at the start.
How are you physically and mentally now, Jesse?
Yeah, probably the best I've been since probably the move, actually. This is the first time I've been in November where I'm not in a moon boot. So, and even just that's a small thing, but just being able to, have an off-season program and train and, kind of still keep yourself moving. It's massive for physically and mentally. You kind of got goals and, little targets to hit rather than kind of just waiting around for a bone to heal. So, mentally that's, it's chalk and cheese to where I've been. So, I'm in a really optimistic situation at the moment, and once I get over there, I'm going to go over there a bit earlier and train with the first 4 year boys and get a really good program in place, and hopefully can, like I said, earn the trust and respect of the group and then come round one, hopefully, you know, everything's good to go.
Have you met or spoken with Leon Cameron?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, living in a bit of a weird world at the moment. Everything's done by Zoom. yeah, I've caught up with him 3 or 4 times over Zoom over the kind of last 3 or 4 weeks, kind of getting to know him and him kind of getting to know me. So, yeah, I've had a couple of discussions with him.
Do you see yourself as a replacement for Jeremy Cameron? I know that the likes of Stephen Silvani, even your last coach, Justin Longmuir, talked about, you know, your physical attributes could see you play as a key defender. Do you want to stay as a forward?
Yeah, look, ideally I want to stay as a forward. I don't really, you know, I don't really go to a team and think you're kind of replacing anyone. I think you're kind of your own player. So, you know, obviously Jezza Cameron's probably been, you know, one of the top 2-3 players of the decade. So I'm not going to go in there with any expectations to be doing that. I just want to get healthy and get fit and, you know, get back to that level of footy that I know I can play or even better. So it's a really simple mindset for me at this stage. And yeah, just one step at a time, really.
Now that you are healthy and fit, Jesse, what aspects of your game do you think you need to sharpen up on as you move to GWS?
I think the key forward is your timing, timing your leads and timing your marks and getting that chemistry with the forward line. So, I think that's kind of the number one thing that I'll work on. Obviously, having a pre-season, I'll get a bit more of a tank and I'll be able to work on certain aspects of my body. But I think just getting time and doing drills with the boys and learning how certain players want to move and, you know, left and right foot and all the rest of it. So, you know, timing, body work, the stuff that I haven't really been able to do for the past 2 years will probably be a bit of a focus of mine, but that'll be a bit of a premium on it.
And Jesse, footy-wise, you must be excited what you see on paper from the midfield that's going to be kicking to you. I know you've played in some good teams before, and I know that there's been players that have been leaving GWS, but any team that has Cornelio, Kelly, Whitfield, Green, just to name a few that could be kicking to you. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, they're all exquisite midfielders and everyone's sleeping a little bit on the Giants because they had a bit of a quiet year. But yeah, like you said, that's a, you know, star-studded midfield. And I think any forward, if you see that and you see those four mids in your centre square, then you'll be pretty stoked. So the list itself for the key forward is extremely exciting. Mm. You know, when they're playing their best brand of footy, you know, I think, you know, that's up there with the top 3-4 offenses in the comp when they're going. So, that side of it was never an issue with the list and the talent that team has. So, yeah, that's extremely exciting across me.
Jesse, you sound fresh. You sound happy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's been a pretty bumpy couple of months, to say the least. So, to have a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel and to be able to, you know, finally know where I've landed and kind of decompressed over the last kind of week or two. You know, it's been really good for me, you know, mentally and, just putting little pieces of the puzzle together with me and what my life sort of look like. And, it's really exciting. I'm in a really good space.
Yeah, that's
some pretty good spots in Sydney, Jesse, to live. Some nice sort of beach locations, some nice inner city locations. Where are you going to go, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I've only ever been to Sydney for, I think it's under 16 state carnival. So I'm not really too sure, but all the boys have harped on how good it is. And you know, I think to be honest, I don't really know any of the places they live. So for me, it's just going to be a little bit of adventure. I'm going to go over there in a few weeks and get a feel for it and hang out with a few of the boys. And, you know, come January, I'll find a spot, hopefully, you know, close to the beach. I love surfing and the rest of it. So hopefully you can, you know, cater for that. But, yeah, at the moment, I honestly don't know too much about it.
Great to hear you upbeat, Jesse. You're only 25. You've been through a lot in your life and in your career so far. So let's hope it's a great move, GWS. You've got a lot of football left in you and a lot of success. Good luck.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Jesse Hogan with us there on Sports Day. Good luck to him. He
sounds happy.
He sounds very, very upbeat and a happy and fit Jesse Hogan. He's going to be a very dangerous player at GWS.
And Sydney seems like the best place for him from a mental point of view as well. No fishbowl, lived in Melbourne, lived in Perth. You go to Sydney and no one knows you. And there he is, Jesse Hogan, off to the GWS Giants to be playing as a key forward. Jeremy Cameron, of course, heading to the Cats, so some big shoes to fill there. More Sports Day to come, all with thanks to Wilson Holmes.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're coming up towards 8 o'clock. It's for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. It is Matty Granlund nearly beer o'clock. I was driving down, so I deliberately drove the slow way to work today. So you, I got here right
there's
on
free
time.
Beer on tomorrow at Melbourne pubs.
Pardon?
There's free beer tomorrow at Melbourne pubs.
What are you talking about?
Carlton Draft. If you go to any pub in Melbourne, you get one Carlton Draft. You buy one, you get one free. That's the deal.
The whole day?
Just for one just day. One? Just for one day.
So if I have six Carlton Drafts, well, will I have six free?
I don't know the T's and C's.
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
Okay. We conclude Sports Day this week. You've rattled me now. With a chat with Aussie selector guru Trevor Holmes, who of course, help preview the summer ahead and discuss the five new faces in the Australian team. He spoke with our own. Lots going on in the sporting world at the moment. Obviously, all eyes towards the AFL trade window closing. But of course, for cricket fans, the summer is upon us. And a significant announcement today with the 17-man test squad to take on India, announced by the chairman of selectors, Trevor Holmes, who joins us here on Sports Day. Trevor, welcome to the program. It's always it's kind of a bit of a landmark day every time the summer of cricket rolls around as we look towards the first test and 17 men selected and some amazing stories amongst the group.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? You know, there is some very good stories, some fabulous young players that have demanded to be chosen, which is very exciting for us. And look, we've got India coming. That's exciting in itself. They're a fantastic test match side, and it'll be a great contest. Really looking forward to it.
I know the role of being a selector isn't always an easy one. I think that goes without saying. Sometimes it's more of a case of finding 11 players to fill spots or 17 in the case of an extended squad. But I get the feeling this time around, Trevor, and the way that the Shield season, particularly from a batting point of view, is concerned, that there are going to be, and there are clearly, some really informed players that unfortunately are going to miss out on this occasion.
Yeah, definitely so. And it's very pleasing, as a matter of fact, to see so many good performers. And you know, not just with the bat, there's been some good bowling performances here in Adelaide as well. You know, conditions have been terrific. We've seen spin bowlers bowling a lot as well, which has been good for us. And, of course, Mitchell Swepson has done a wonderful job for Queensland, and hence his selection in his squad as well.
Now, we're obviously going out to a predominantly Victorian audience, Trevor, so we will talk about Will Pekowski shortly, but I did want to make special mention of Sean Abbott. I'm really happy to see him in that squad as well, because you know, we've seen him really ride the roller coaster of cricket. There's been some big ups and some massive lows, but it's a real recognition for the real consistent form he's shown over the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with Sean. He's worked really, really, really hard, and not just with his bowling. He's always been a good bowler and he's always had the potential to bat, but his batting has come on in leaps and bounds over the last 12 months, and that's obviously testament to how hard he has actually worked. He's a fabulous performer right now and thoroughly deserves his position in the squad.
And not that you'll get sick of being asked the question, Trevor, because it's so exciting for Australian cricket to see a young man at 22 just absolutely dominating at Shield level. I of course, refer to Will Pekowski, a couple of double hundreds back-to-back. He's sort of knocked the door down for selection. And I guess now we'll wait and see what plays out over the next few weeks, but he's very much in the mix to be in that first 11 come the first test.
Very much so. He's given us a great option there. And look, he's an exciting young player. He just continues to score runs, not just this year. He's done it in a couple of years gone by. He's an exciting talent. He, once again, had to be chosen. Mm. He just, belted the door down with performance, and that's what we ask our players to do. Whether he gets included in a test match, that remains to be seen. We'll sort that out a little bit closer to the time.
Yep. And last one before we let you go, Trevor. Obviously, as we've said, huge anticipation with India coming to this part of the world. We know, unfortunately, that Virat will only be there for the first test, but take nothing away from the strength and the all-round qualities of this Indian side. They are going to provide one hell of a stern test, aren't they?
They sure are, irrespective of whether Virat's there or not. They're a wonderful side. They've got so many very, very good players. So, and in Virat's case, well, you know, what it displays, and I think we should applaud it, is he's not just a superstar cricketer, but he's also a very caring and normal person to want to go home and be with his wife for the birth of their child. So I think we should applaud that.
Absolutely. Well said, Trevor. Great squad. Almost all of the feedback I've seen so far has been universal in its acclaim of how talented and how many great stories there are amongst this 17. And the countdown will continue to that first test. We cannot wait. Thanks for your time here on Sports Day, Trevor, and all the best for the summer ahead.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Trevor Hones there with Benny. Now, before we wrap up, The Thrill of the Chase is a show that is launching on Sunday mornings on 7.2. It's all about greyhound racing. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I have my own little greyhound at
you
home.
You do?
Yep. She refused to race. So her name is Diva. We got her at two. But these, but most of them don't actually refuse. They actually race. But Greyhound Racing Victoria are doing a great job, not just with the racing, but also the greyhound adoption program. Anyway, I digress. Louise Martin is the General Manager of Comms at the GRV, and she joins us. Louise, welcome to Sports Day.
Hello. Well, I've got my greyhound sitting here too, Princess, and she did race, but she had a problem. She used to race and then stop and wait for the others to catch up to her, so she didn't race for very long.
I think we should organise some sort of meeting between Princess and Diva. They sound like they'd be best friends. Obviously, Louise, a huge show kicking things off with the TAB Melbourne Cup and the Bold Trees Heats less than a week away. Thrill of the Chase is going to be exciting.
Oh, look, it's 3 years we've been doing this. This is our third year. And you can have an idea, but it doesn't always work out. This one has. And thanks to Craig Hutchison for his support with this. And it's been just terrific for us. And as you said, on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we'll all be tuned in to watch the Thrill of the Chase again, which is just an opportunity for us to showcase our sport, but also show our quirky stories, as you've just mentioned one, and myself as well.
One of those stories you'll be talking about, Tornado Tears, joining the Million Dollar Club on the weekend with an extraordinary win in the Top Gun Stayers. His trainer, Rob Britton, will be on the show.
Yeah, look, I'm a bit in love with Robbie. How wonderful. And Tornado Tears, actually, the dog, not so much Robbie, but what an amazing race. Sorry, Rob, if he's listening. What an amazing race. And his little brother came second. And look, you know, $1 million for a dog. Who would have thought at 29 seconds around that track, or a little bit longer if it's a stayers race? But who would have thought that dogs could reap such a benefit, hey?
Absolutely. And Houdini Boy, one of the most exciting young dogs going around in the country after a small injury setback. His trainer, Kel Greenoff, is going to join you for an exclusive update as well.
I better pronounce his name right, Kel Greenoff, or I'll be in trouble. You can get away with it,
but I can't. That's my problem. Yeah, my fault.
No, he's terrific. And we've got our CEO, Alan Clayton, on first show on Sunday. Now, he's got a greyhound called Zoe. Zoe never actually made it to the track either, so we're all failures here. And so they'll be on. Simon Told Helen, which is a great yarn, which will be on as well. And that Simon Told Helen is a beautiful story, and it belongs to the Geelong surgeons who actually got the dog and have trained the dog and got it through. So I'll leave that up to everyone's to tune in on Sunday and listen to that story.
Good on you, Louise. We're all excited for it. Join Jack Everin and Thrill of the Chase, the latest greyhound news and feel-good stories. It's this Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning. It is on 7.2. And that is another big show and another big week done. And I am not ashamed to say, Matt, thank goodness the trade period is over.
It is over, and you've done a fantastic job, Sam. And now you can maybe put your phone away for a couple of weeks, maybe even turn it off and turn off Twitter.
You know, turning off your phone in 2020 is one of...
Very dangerous.
Well, it's two things. It's empowering and it's nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yes.
Not so much it being off, but turning it back on. How many times is my phone going to buzz? How many abusive phone messages?
Enjoy a little break. Just put your feet up for
a while. Thanks, Maddie. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. You can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Enjoy your weekend. Stay well. Stay safe.